Hello and welcome to the recording for the Kids in Ignite for Sunday, the 20th of June. It's Father's Day! Woo! Well, I hope you've celebrated your dads and you've done something special for them. And, you know, I mean, there are some people we have to think about who don't have fathers, but they do have brothers or uncles or other people in their lives that stand in the place of fathers. So although it's Father's Day, it can be other people's day too. So I hope you are appreciating the role, male role models in your life today. So probably just a short session today, really. Quite a nice little story we've got. And but before we get into that, let's see whether we can guess what country I am thinking of. Okay. For 5 points, this country is linked to the northeastern to northeast Africa, and yeah, and it's also known for being the country that invented the 365-day calendar. For the year. For 4 points, it is home to the Libyan Desert, which is linked to the Sahara Desert, and also the Arabian Desert. For 3 points, it is home to the longest river, which is the Nile. For 2 points, it's known as the land of the pharaohs. And for 1 point, its capital is Cairo. Did you guess that I was thinking of Egypt? I hope so. I thought these clues were really quite nice ones. It's also other interesting things about Egypt is that there are 130 pyramids that have been found so far, and scientists are searching for more. And okay, they used that calendar, the 365-day calendar, they used it to predict when the Nile was likely to flood. So really, really good, really interesting. Okay, so today's miracle that we're talking about, which are all the amazing things that Jesus did while he was here on earth, is the 12th miracle, and it's Jesus raises the ruler's daughter from the dead. Now, this is one of those lovely stories where we get two for the price of one. There are actually two miracles in the story today, and we're going to talk about both of them. And this version I'm reading from is the shorter version of it, which is Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 to verse 26. But I will be referring really to other accounts in the Bible where this story is told. It's also told in Luke, and it goes into a bit more detail in that version of it. So the Bible says, while Jesus was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all that region. Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent stuff happening here. So Jesus was in the middle of talking about other things, and he gets interrupted by someone coming and saying, my daughter has just died. And, you know, which is a big thing, you know. Death is supposed to be final. Death is, we all die, and when we die, that's the end of our life, and then we live the life in heaven, hopefully, and you know, and that's all we can do. But this man has such faith. I am so amazed at the amount of faith that is discussed in these two miracles. This man has so much faith, and he says, I know, because he's a synagogue leader, so he knows all about the Jewish faith. He knows all about that. And Jews at that time were really struggling with the idea that, is Jesus really the Messiah? But look at this man. He is that desperate that in spite of whatever they might have decided to do as Jewish leaders, he goes against that and he goes to meet Jesus. He goes to find Jesus. And he says to him, although my daughter is dead, if you come and put your hand on her, she will live again. He believes Jesus has that power. I don't know whether he's heard, he must have heard. He must have heard how Jesus has done other great things. He must have heard how Jesus has raised the widow's son. He must have heard how, you know, he's raised Lazarus from the dead and all of this. And he believes that Jesus, just come, if you touch her, then that's it. Put your hand on her and she will live. Now, I sort of like think this is similar to where we feel we need a touch from God. I mean, I don't mean a physical touch, obviously, because God is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere. He's omniscience, which means he knows everything. But he's also a spirit being, really. We don't see God every day of our lives. Some people might see angels or, you know, images of Jesus or whatever. But, you know, that it's not often that you would ask that somebody, we can't ask Jesus to come and put hands on situations in our lives that are dead. But this is really in our mind. If we have something that has died, let's say a relationship or something that we feel really is not going as well as it should, then we can ask God to come and put his hand on it, to get involved. I think I've mentioned before that I always ask God to get involved when I see emergency services having to go somewhere. I ask God, I believe it actually does help and it does work, that I send God's spirit to that place to be with the police or ambulance or fire brigade to go and help, and for his Holy Spirit to be there to give them wisdom and to help them in whatever way might be needed. So this man had amazing faith, and he said, just come and put your hand on her and she will be well. And so Jesus gets up to go with him, and his disciples are there too. And as they're going, in the version in Luke, it says that this woman, she just thought, she crept up behind Jesus and she touched him. She touched his cloak. And she said, if I just touch the edge of his cloak, that will be enough for me. She had that much faith, which is amazing to think. He doesn't even need to lay hands on me. He doesn't need to look at me. He doesn't need to turn around and see me. If I just touch his clothes, that's enough for me. That will make me well. That's a lot of faith. This man was believing that, oh, come and lay your hand on her. But she didn't even want Jesus to acknowledge her. She didn't even want him to turn around and sort of talk to her or anything. She believed that the minute she touched his clothes, then she would be made well. And that's exactly what happened. Because usually with God, it's how much faith we are showing. If we are showing a little bit of faith, then only little miracles will happen for us. If we trust God and we test God and we ask him for big things, then big things will happen. That's how it works. We just have to have the amount of faith. And in the version in Luke, it says that Jesus turned around and he said, I can feel that power has gone out of me. Who did it go to? And he knows that somebody has touched him with faith. And he felt the power leaving his body to go and heal this woman. And he said, who is it? And at first she doesn't want to say it was her. And then eventually she says it was her. And he says, yes, your faith has made you well. So we have got to have that much faith that being in Jesus' presence is great, but we've got to touch him. We've got to reach out our faith to touch him. And, you know, if we do that, there is nothing that he will not do for us. Nothing that we cannot accomplish. Now then, Jesus goes to the synagogue leader's house and he sees all the people that are crying and moaning that this girl has gone. And Jesus says, go away. There's no need to be crying. She's only asleep. But they laugh at him, and they laugh at him because they have no faith. They do not believe that he has power to do anything. They have very little faith. And sometimes in our lives, we might have people that have very little faith in us. And if you were to say to somebody, I want to be a doctor, or I want to do this great job and be a pilot or something, people might laugh at you. They might say, oh, yeah, right. Not you. You can't do that. Don't be silly. You know, and you have to distance yourself away from those people. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He says to them, take them outside, far away from me. I do not need this negativity around me. I do not need people that do not have faith. I don't need people that will not work with me. And then he takes the girl by the hand and she gets up. And she has been brought back to life. And we need to have that much faith that Jesus can bring anything that has died in our lives. I always sort of think of relationships, like if you're not good friends with somebody or you're not getting on well with somebody, that could be a dead situation. Then Jesus can definitely do something about that. So we need to have faith in him. And we need to be careful who we have around us. We need to have people of faith, people that believe the same things as us, people that are ready to see us in any new light, because our lives are just starting. I mean, I'm 47. I've only just started. I'm starting a new career. I'm thinking about doing new things in my life. I'm thinking about traveling. I'm thinking about doing, you know, so you can't sort of write yourself off and say, oh, yeah, this is where I am and this is where I'll stay. You have to be ready to look for new opportunities in your life. And that does take faith. And it takes people around you to build you up and to encourage you. So that's the two main things I wanted to really bring out from this story, that we need to have faith in God for amazing things. And we need to remove people in our lives who do not feed our faith. Right. Well, I hope you enjoy Father's Day, whatever you're doing, and that you enjoy, you know, having a wonderful, wonderful time celebrating your dad's. Stay blessed, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.